Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a passion for encouraging others? Have you thought about ways you could connect with other people, bring them some encouragement, and share your heart and honor Jesus all at the same time without using the dreaded, you know, PC word today, offending anyone? Well, my guest today has been able to do just that. Jennifer Irving is the author of the book, As My Mind Unwinds. It's a 31-day devotional that's a compilation of different articles or blog posts she shared with her followers, but it's in a devotional format. And she's also launching a book called When My Mind Winds Up. So we'll talk about that today as well. Currently, she works as a connections pastor at the Grove Church in Marysville, Washington. Jen strives to bring people closer to Jesus while encouraging them not to take themselves too seriously. And she's worked as a ghost blogger for an SEO company for many years. She's been a credentialed minister for 7 years. She also recently acquired her Assemblies of God coaching credentials. Praise the Lord. Her writing has appeared in Angela Craig's book, Under One Umbrella, as well as Reflections for Pursuit Church Live, Women Devotions, Faith Filled Magazine, and others. Help me welcome to the program, Jennifer Irving. Jennifer, it is so good to talk to you finally. Thank you for coming on the program.
Oh my goodness, how fun is this? It's just too exciting, and I'm so happy to be here.
Amen. Now, the first question I always ask is this. Other than that short bit of information that I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Jennifer Irving?
Well, let me just tell you right off the bat that I love that you said, have you ever wanted to share about like God and just, you know, all those things without offending? And it makes me giggle because I am pretty direct, but but I try to be, you know, put that humor and that reality in it too, so that people can connect with that and they won't feel offended. But you know what? It does happen sometimes, you know.
Oh, yeah.
People either love you or they hate you. But no, yeah, I love to have fun. And if a day without laughter is an opportunity missed. And oh. So Jen loves to laugh. And I love to teach God's word in a way that's understandable.
Hey.
So that's, you know, that's me in a nutshell.
Okay. And you're married, right?
I'm married for it'll be 16 years in April, and I have my husband and Randy and I, we have two boys, and they, oh my goodness, they are delicious young men. So I have Aiden, who is going to turn 15 next week, and it's time for driver's ed.
Oh boy.
And I have my little Alec, who is 12, and he is now in middle school. So I'm feeling that constant pressure of like, oh my goodness, the time is short. My boys are going to leave me.
Amen. Amen. And as that draws closer, the anxiety goes up. I'm telling you.
Oh my goodness. And that is so funny that you say that, because anxiety is definitely a battle I've had with for my whole life. And that is what my new book is going to focus on, actually. Ooh, so it's funny that you use that term.
Amen. Well, how did you get started in writing?
You know what? This podcast is going to have to be like 2 hours long to take that. But I'll try to shorten it
so
up.
So we can reschedule. Not a problem.
No, writing. So writing's always come easy to me. I was a good student, and I was always that girl in high school who would wait till the day before to write the paper and get the best grade in the class. So writing, easy. And then, you know, you get into ministry and everybody wants to write a book, right?
Yeah, so, that's right.
But for me, I really did know that was something I was going to do someday. And then 2013, I had a horrific experience happen in my family. My 30-year-old brother was found dead after 4 days in his apartment. It was deemed an accident, but honestly, an after-school special could be written and produced on the whole situation. but I won't get too much into that, you know, lawyers, investigators, the whole thing. Right. We suspect there's more to the story, let's put it that way. Mm. And I had a really hard time grieving and reconciling what was happening in my reality to who God says he is, mm-hmm. And what heaven actually is. And so I did what we do. I was trying to find resources to help me in my grief. I went on to Google, looking up books and stuff on grief, and everything I found was always like, these are the stages of grief, or, all this stuff that was not what I was looking for. I needed something that could reconcile my brokenness and where I was at and how I was seeing my parents real to who God says he is. And so it was that time I knew I needed to write that. Well, then we fast forward to 2018 and I still had not written that book. And I came home one day and was just feeling, sick with myself and just disappointed. And, I was home alone and I was crying out to God, like, what the heck is wrong with me? Like, I'm clearly not going to do this or whatever. And it was one of those moments where, God never audibly talks to us. I mean, I guess maybe for some people he does, but for me, it's not like that. It's like a conversation in my heart and my mind. But he said to me, Jennifer, you already wrote a book. And I was like, what are you talking about, God? No, I haven't. And he goes, no, you did. He goes, I want you to take everything you've done as a ghost blogger, what you've written for Fire Bible, your different, your favorite things you've written for other venues, and put it together into a devotional. And I was like, okay, but that has nothing to do with my brother, Lord. He goes, I can't control what book you wrote first. So this is my conversation with God. And no joke, that afternoon, I went through all my old stuff, grabbed my favorite 31, and in 2 weeks, the book was done.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. And so at the end of that book, anyone who picks up As My Mind Unwinds, it's available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart. At the end, you'll see an intro to what I plan on writing for my brother. It will be a book on grief, the book that I was looking for at the time. And I'm writing it with a friend who's a counselor. Her name is Ann Hopkins, and she lost her son in his 20s to a death. He was hiking, and he drowned in a waterfall.
Oh my goodness.
So we're going to partner together on that, and that book is coming, but it's going to take a few years. Yeah. But in the meantime, I mean, that's how I got into writing, and it was like once I did it, it was amazing how easy it was. And I have amazing stories about As My Mind Unwinds. I don't know if you want me to get into that or not, but that is how I got into it and how it all happened. And now I have the second book only a mere year and a half later. It's ready to come out in 2 weeks. So
amen.
God is interesting in how he does what he does.
Oh, yes, he is. And his timing is always perfect.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Amen. So you mentioned ghostwriting. I mean, that has some unique challenges, right? I mean, how do you find the voice of the person that, they want you to write something for them?
Oh my goodness. Well, it's a lot of research. Because a lot of times, when I was ghostwriting, I would do all kinds of different things. A lot of it was real estate. Some of it was like, paintball companies. So mm-hmm. I did write for firebible.com. Mm-hmm. Fire Bible. I don't know if your audience knows about that, but it's an amazing resource for families. Amazing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just a lot of research, looking at people's websites, the kind of material they put out in the past. And I am a bit of an actress too, never professionally. Well, actually, that's a lie. Recently professionally. So just kind of putting yourself in that place, putting out valuable content that helps their business and trying to do it in their voice.
Amen. Amen. So tell us about your book, As My Mind Unwinds. I mean, I love the little blurb on your website that says, much like Seinfeld is a show about nothing, this book is a devotional about nothing. I mean, there's really no theme except for this. Finding a way to reconcile anything your mind unwinds or winds up about with who Jesus is. I mean, a book about nothing. Yeah, that sounds like a great promotional concept for you.
And what's so funny is I knew when I wrote that the only Seinfeld audiences would think it was as funny and as meaningful as I did. Amen. But it's so true. And all that means is, although it's a devotional, it has no theme. Because most devotionals have a theme, devotionals for moms, devotionals for marriage, devotionals for fear or how to pray. But this has no theme. And so it's literally anything that, you know, because remember, God told me take my favorite writings over the like the past decade or so and put them together. And so it's literally, I picked my favorite topics that I'd either written for on my blog or as a ghostwriter, whatever the venue I was writing for. So it could be relationships. It could be my journey as a minister. It could be hot topics like when bin Laden died and are we really supposed to rejoice over something like that? And just really like tackling that topic, what was going through my mind at the time, and then seeing what God says about that, and then bringing my heart to meet his in that topic. And that's what every single one is about in that book.
Amen. That's awesome. Now, I was looking around on your website and on your blog. You talked about witnessing through reviewing books. Now, that's interesting because I'm an avid reader. I sometimes read 20, 25 books a year, more typically probably 15 to 18 right in that area. But how do you pursue witnessing through reviewing books?
Sure. So I'm trying to even think what you're talking about that you saw that, but I'm guessing
it was on your blog.
I barely remember this. I'm thinking you're talking about so I actually read a really powerful book by author Kristen Klaus. She's a counselor and a credentialed minister with the Assemblies of God. It's called Healing for My Soul Gardens. And when I read that book and how it impacted me, so she wrote it for those who've experienced sexual abuse of any kind. But reading this book, no joke, everyone should read this. Because honestly, it's for anyone, in my opinion, who's experienced abuse of any kind. And when I read this book, I realized how powerful it could be for the world. And I realized that if I don't give her a good review and go public with that, how will people know about that? So that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Witnessing through reading books and reviewing them, it's a big deal. And so when you have a favorite author, there is nothing better you can do to support them and the potential people they can help than to leave a review.
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, not just in the book area, but podcasts as well. You know, you'd be surprised how few people actually will leave a rating or review like on iTunes for you, you know? Part of, you know, I have a podcast training program, and one of the things I talk about is go and leave reviews on other people's podcasts because they're going to like, oh, wow, they will notice, you know, unless you get one of these that, you know, they get a million downloads per episode or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, someone that, you know, 50, 100 downloads and, you know, somebody left a review. And what's the first thing you're going to do? They're going to follow you back. They want to know who this is, you know? And, you know, who knows how that will lead. But yeah, so I can see how reviewing books would do the same thing because, you know, I love it when someone leaves a review on my book. I make a copy of it, put it on the website, you know, hey, I got a review.
Exactly. And I mean, I get it. It might be annoying to log into your Amazon account or whatever, but literally when it's all said and done, it took you 5 minutes. It was a huge impact for the author, the podcaster, the whoever created the product. Yep. And you do not know how that's going to connect them to people who need them and how you could change a life in something that simple. Yeah.
Exactly. Amen. Now, you also have a blog post that encourage people to continue to tithe even in hard times. Tell us about that time in your life where you learned that lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's actually, I believe, I want to say that's one of the chapters in As My Mind and Winds as well. But no, I get super passionate about tithing and I don't want to be legalistic about it because it really is about how you can not only honor God, but how God says, test me and I will bless you. Like he's flat out giving us a challenge. And I have seen it play out time and again. So I grew up in church. And so, you know, my parents, like they give me $10 allowance. That $1 is going in the offering plate on Sunday. Like I've always tithed. I've never not tithed. And so it's hard for me to wrap my brain around people who haven't grown up that way. And so there is that caveat. However, there have been times in my life where I just didn't have money. I mean, things are tight. There was a time, you know, in my husband and I's marriage and the kids were young where, and we were always trying to be responsible with money. You know, he's great at budgeting and all that, but like literally you look at the budget and it tells you, you do not make enough money to even pay your bills. Forget food, forget like all of that. Like it was telling us in black and white right there on the paper or the computer screen, you don't make enough money to pay your bills. But I tell you, because the tithe was always the first thing that came out of our paychecks, we never went hungry. We never missed paying rent or a house payment or anything. The resources just, I want to say magically, although that's not the right word, but they just right. provisionally by the grace of God show up. Mm-hmm. And so he has that verse, you know, test me. It has been proven time and time again to be so true. And I know it's a step of faith for people, but I am telling you, nothing will grow your faith more than that simple act of obedience. And then just the rush you feel when you see it play out. Oh yeah. My gosh, it's yeah. amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. There's been more than one time when, you know, I'll just use an example. My car, something be wrong with the car. You know, the little idiot light comes on and you can hear the difference in the way the engine's running. Oh man, I can't afford this right now. But you take it down to the car mechanic and he comes back out 15 minutes later. Okay, all done. Here you go. I said, what was it? You know, a hose popped off or something, you know, and I just reconnected it. You're good. You know, like, thank you, Jesus, you know, because, exactly. you know, I mean, the car mechanic I use, their shop, it's like a mini church, right? They're an auto body shop. They've been in business about 10 years, but they hold Bible studies there on Thursday night. On Saturdays, they got kids ministry, you know, and stuff like that's going exactly. on at their auto shop. And they play, you know, Christian music all day long. So anytime somebody walks in, they may not be born again, but they're still going to see and hear about Jesus, you know.
That's amazing. That's really cool.
But so that's who I take the car to. But yeah, I mean, you know, here I'm thinking, well, I wonder how much this is going to cost me. But yeah, but the Lord, because you're a tither, he's providing. You know, that's just one small instance. There's all kinds of things that I could go into, just like you, I'm sure you can too. But tell us about the difference between joy and happiness. You write about this, well, focus on joy over happiness. What's the difference?
Yes. And I'm going to just take the opportunity to say that that is a big focus too in my new book, When My Mind Winds Up, that's coming out, because that is an anxiety book and holding on to your joy is really one of the best ways to defeat anxiety time and time again. But the difference between joy and happiness is really based on your circumstances and what's going on around you. And joy is something that you hold on to despite your circumstances. And although God is, you know, he's a good father, he loves it when we're happy. There's nothing wrong with being happy. But the thing is, he does not care about your happiness if your joy is at stake, because that is more important. So that's the difference is, you know, happiness is circumstantial. Joy is something deeper. And I go into that a lot in my new book. And I would love for people to pick that up and really, yeah. and I actually love to talk about that too at events. It's one of my favorite topics.
Amen. Amen. Well, since we've already talked about some things in your new book already, tell us about this new book, When My Mind Winds Up.
Yeah. So, and again, it was kind of a God thing. You know, I was just sitting, oh goodness, it was about a year ago in my living room. And I was like, it was just time to write another book. I just started writing it, just dealing with anxiety. And like, I mean, oh my goodness, anxiety. Ugh, I can't even, it's like you're fine one minute. And then all of a sudden you're hopped up, worried about something or sad about something for no reason. And you literally cannot control it. And so, I cannot remember a time that was not a battle for me. And I was like, you know what? One of the best ways that I do overcome anxiety is serving others. When I take, because anxiety and any pain that you go through really is selfish. Carrie Newhoff says in his book, Didn't See It Coming, that drop a brick on your toe and see if you can think about anything else.
Right. Yeah.
That there shows you how selfish pain is. And it's the truth with anxiety too. And so I was like, that's why I felt like I needed to write this book, because it serves others. What I have found is when I take the focus off myself, focus on serving someone else, helping someone else, whatever, that is the pathway to healing when it comes to anxiety or any pain that you're enduring. And so just, that one took a little bit longer for me to write. That was not a 2 week and done, because of course I didn't have all the content. Like, you know, I already did with the first one, but That took about 6 months. And so I turned it into the publisher on Halloween of this last year. And and now it's about to be presented to the world.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. At the time when this, as people are hearing this episode, it will already be, it'll just be published in that time frame. So praise the Lord. It'll be, the link will be down in the show notes, folks. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because, you know, we talk about anxiety, but, you know, this life, this culture and society today, although it's an easier life than, say, 100 years ago or even 50 years ago, you know, because, you know, people didn't have to worry about, you know, droughts, you know, not eating for, you know, a whole winter because the drought wiped out their crops and stuff like that. There were different stressors than there are today back then. But that being said, we have different stressors in our life today that they didn't have to deal. You know, our grandparents didn't have to worry about what people said on social media about us and things like that. So, you know, to be able to address that, and, you know, tell us some of the ways you have presented to help overcome that anxiety.
So just you're asking for some tools or helps that I have that help me with anxiety in the moment?
Yeah. Yeah, just sure. Some ideas that you presented in your book.
Yes, sure. So like I said, trying to take, first of all, if you can try to take your mind off yourself and just think about somebody else. So because we all know somebody in our life, like maybe they're dealing with something like that mom was stressed out. Okay, I'm going to bake a casserole for her right now and take it over. You know, some practical act of service that you can serve someone else. So it just keeps you from sitting in your recliner at home, staring at the corner, replaying the negative thoughts in your mind.
Right.
And then of course, you know, all the stuff we hear all the time, renew your thoughts, take your thoughts captive and submit them to Christ. All of that. Memorizing scripture, looking at the promises of God and what He's promised you, you know, all those kinds of things. It's a fight. It's a battle. Like you're not fighting physically, but you literally have to. Every little negative thought that creeps into your mind, like, nope, I know that's not true. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. Mm. Get that out of my brain. I reject you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, you know, all that kind of stuff. Those are practical things. Of course, when you're dealing with anxiety, you're not always in a place where you can just shut it off like that and go to that, like, oh yeah, I have to think positive. So if you can at least get yourself to stop and breathe for a minute and then go into a prayer and then recollect and go, whatever can get you to just stop spinning immediately. Mm-hmm. To either think about serving someone else or whatever. And so if you even like write down like on a piece of paper, I need to breathe, pray, collect my thoughts, serve someone else. And so that when you go crazy, at least you know where that paper is at and you can grab it and read it, like something like that. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's good. And you know, anxiety is such a big topic today. Mm-hmm. So to have this down in a way that, is it written subject matter wise, or is this a devotional as well, where it's like a different thought for a different day? How's the book formatted?
Sure. Good question. So, it does have, 30 chapters. I think it's 30, not 31. Anyways, cause I did go into it thinking that I would present it as a devotional, like I did as My Mind and Wines. And each chapter is only 2 to 4 pages. Much like As My Mind and Wines. However, I did not market it as a devotional necessarily this time because so many people told me from my last book that they read it straight through. I don't know if it was they were just thirsty for the content and didn't want to, you know, limit themselves to one entry or chapter a day or what it was. But I sense that if that was true with that book, it would be even more so true with this because if you're suffering with anxiety, you want everything you can to help. So it can be used as a devotional. You can definitely take it one chapter at a time and go through a month, but you can also read it straight through. What I did do too in this one, because I still put coaching questions at the end of each chapter so that you can really make it real for you, is I also went ahead and included a journal page at the end of each chapter so you can write down your thoughts and stuff at the time in it. Because I did encourage with my last book that you buy a journal and used in conjunction with that. But I was like, let's just make it easy this time and we'll put the journal pages in there. So all that to say, it's not necessarily marketed as a devotional. You can read it straight through, but it can definitely be used in that way.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of the interview with Jennifer Irving. I'm telling you, this book, this devotional that she has put together, this is something that you really need to get a hold of. I love how she explained it with as much like the Seinfeld show, it's a show about nothing. Well, this is a devotional about nothing. I mean, what a hook. Now, you need to go down below in the show notes. You need to order yourself a copy of this book and come back tomorrow for the remainder of our interview because we're just really getting into the good stuff right now. She's going to be talking about, you know, some information that they'll just motivate you, inspire you, encourage you, and it'll encourage you to share the word with others. You need to go down below. Get in touch with Jennifer. Ask her questions. Things like that that she enjoys helping people with. And order her book. Go down the show notes. Click on the link. It'll take you straight to the Amazon link. And you can go ahead and order her book. But most of all, come back tomorrow as we conclude our interview with Jennifer Irving. Till then, this is Bob Tibble reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.